Okay, the Mount Olive One Stop, the role of faith, community, and promoting HIV prevention. What we did here was we were using an outreach facility in the community to address HIV, the rise in HIV, and specifically amongst African Americans, where the rates of infection were much higher than that of any other race or ethnicity. Prevention approaches in traditional health care settings may not reach most at risk for HIV infection, particularly within the minority communities. There's been a great distrust in the minority community going back since Tuskegee and some of the other issues. So the church is the most recognized, trusted, and stable social institution in the African-American community. And what we decided to do was tap into that strategy as a draw to bring in African-Americans, especially with the HIV rates that had been astronomically climbing over the past decade. What we found is that, the rates, as they were, they moved from what was considered a gay population to the heterosexual population, specifically to African-American female heterosexuals. Interdenominational Theological Center, 2001, 70% of African-American adults identify with the church or denomination. So we decided to tap into that strategy. Most people in the African-American community know somebody that goes to church. For every church member has the potential to reach at least 8 people, grandma or auntie or somebody. And whenever there's a crisis in the African-American community, people generally gravitate toward the church. And if you go back to the history, most of the formative institutions have come out of the African-American church. Many of our colleges and institutions were formed in the churches. So the significant role that was already being played, we decided to tap into the strategy to combat the rise in HIV infections. Again, some of the things that I've alluded to. Mount Olive Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio, and Rice State University collaborated in January 2007 to open the Mount Olive One Stop. Now, Mount Olive is a church that's located in the west side of Dayton. Shall we say, for lack of a better term, it's in the hood. Okay? It's in the hood. And that's where our folk are. That's where folk recognize stuff. But they recognize a lot of everything except the absence of services. Now, this was a tough sell because a lot of the African-American churches are still very heavy laden with the stigma against HIV, how it came about, how we deal with it, all of those kinds of things. In the African-American church, this is a traditional Baptist church. It's over 110 years old. Traditionally, in a Baptist church, nothing happens unless the pastor okays it. I don't know about any other church, but I can tell you about the Baptist church, born and raised, know a little bit about the Baptist church. If it doesn't come from the pulpit, it just doesn't happen. All right. So this was a tough sale. But again, you can see some of the services that are there. Some of the things that I'll talk about as we move through it are quite interesting, and they really develop or help develop this kind of thing. Now, Wright State, which is where I work, they were doing a lot of funding in the HIV area, getting a lot of grants, but they were in a situation where nobody could reach them. And even prior to them changing the bus routes, you couldn't even get a bus to where all this money was going. You couldn't even get a city bus to where millions of dollars were flowing in grant money that was targeted to a community that couldn't get to the services. All right. As a result of this community-based collaborative in 2002 to improve HIV services, this one stop was started. Action plan for faith-based initiative was developed. One, to increase awareness amongst church leaders that HIV is a critical health issue facing the African-American community. Again, a tough sell, but one of our strategies was to deal with the pastors. A lot of times when you're dealing with pastors, sometimes it's not that many of them are resistant, they just don't know. Many of them don't have the education, and there's a lot of ignorance, but there's also a lot of judgment. So what we did was we incorporated a strategy where we would first go in. We use a curriculum prepared by the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, that dealt with pastors as well. And so we started with the pastors. And we would go and we would do day-long presentations at a church, but we'd also have the pastor do a presentation on HIV prevention. So we'd find something fairly simple, and we would train the pastors on how to do these presentations, again, recognizing that when the pastor spoke, people were listening. And so we would start with the pastor. And at this particular time, when we started this is about 10 years ago when we first started some of this stuff, we had a lot of money. So most of you know who grant funded, things are a lot different now. But we were able to provide incentives to the churches. So we rented the churches, we rented their equipment, we gave the pastor a stipend for teaching. We have a mobile health unit. We brought in the mobile health unit, and we would literally have a barbecue. We'd literally have a barbecue. And so we'd just go into a community, bring the mobile health unit, bring incentives, fire up a grill, and people would come out of nowhere. Faith-based HIV prevention efforts include the participation of 22 local churches in their congregations. And a day-long workshop is designed to provide information on HIV, establishing HIV prevention and wellness ministries. Now, one of the things that we found out through our research is that surveyed about, I want to say about 97 churches, about 95 of those churches had wellness ministries. None of them included HIV. And so, you know, we begin to say, well, how can you have a wellness ministry that doesn't include HIV when you have a virus that's killing the majority of your congregants? How can you do that? And so we begin to show them how to do those kinds of things. So 973 people went through that initial 22 those churches there. Six churches incorporating HIV/AIDS information into the existing ministries. Now, our concept was pretty much based on one-stop model in that if you didn't provide the service, you would be able to connect people to the service. And so they'd also have access to the mobile to bring the mobile back. A lot of churches do a lot of health fairs and things like that, but typically they don't do HIV screening. Now, one of the things we did with our mobile unit was we made sure that our mobile unit was disguised and that it had some of the other things that some of my colleagues have previously shared with you. It had blood pressure, blood sugars, PSA cancer screening, hepatitis C screening, so that when you went on the mobile, it wasn't considered the HIV van. When you went on, there were other things going on so that nobody knew what you were going on for. And that was critical for us to make sure, because what we had experienced in the local community with public health, even though they were doing HIV screenings, there was a wing in public health in this building that if you went down that area, everybody knew. Exactly. So, all right. So this faith-based initiative and the success of the workshops and the interest among church leaders in their congregation involved the establishment of the one-stop center. Now, I can tell you, since I was at the onset of this strategy, one of the things that we endeavored to do was shame them into action. We really did. I mean, at that time, the rise in heterosexual HIV transmission amongst African-American women was just simply off the charts. Many of you that go to African-American churches, specifically in the Baptist denomination, you know that 85 to 90% of the congregants are women. And so we're saying, how can you not say something about something that's killing the people that are maintaining your institution? So the Mount Olive One Stop has increased the capacity of the community to provide services to those accessing traditional health care services, particularly minorities. Since opening its doors in 2007, the center has served over 5,000 persons, mostly African Americans, 75% with an almost equal mix of men, 52%, 48% women. The majority of the consumers are uninsured, 51%, and 10% are homeless, and many of these are ex-offenders. And I will say this, this particular church has gotten very heavily involved with this particular ministry. So the church has grown as a result of providing and opening its doors to do this ministry. And then creating an atmosphere that's conducive to disclosure is torn down. Again, 110-year-old church, 110-year-old church. The barriers have come tumbling down. Many of the people that have accessed the center have joined the church. They have disclosed their status. They have been very warmly embraced. So it really is quite a setting. The feeding ministry of this church, which came as a result of the opening of the One Stop, these are numbers that came through the programs. Last year, this church fed over 8,000 people on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they were only open 4 hours a day. And this year, they're already over 6,700 folk fed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I do want to add that the meals are very healthy. Not quite to your level yet, but the meals are very healthy, and they just started a garden last year. So that's pretty cool. 99% of all the persons that sit in the center have been tested for HIV, and 10% have been screened for hepatitis C. The hepatitis C rates are just off the charts. Unbelievable. The center has become a trusted source of prevention and services within the African-American community. And plans to expand the center include substance use and mental health disorder. And again, this is dated. That did just happen this year. So now there are mental health services there. And the strategy behind that is that by bringing mental health services to the African-American community, which really was resistant to mental health services, by bringing it to a trusted institution, it has gotten credibility. And so now we're able to serve African-Americans with mental health disorders as well. Basic primary care and recovery support services. They have an NA and an AA group that was started in this church about the same time. It's been running for about 4 years. And that's my information there. The one thing that this information does not say is that I'm also the pastor of this church. Thank you.